I love that song, and it was sung very well and a great reminder for us. We do need the Lord, don't we? All of us do. And that is the sentiment expressed in this psalm right from the beginning. In Psalm chapter number 23, if you found your place there with me, say amen. Amen. And I'm excited to continue on studying through this wonderful chapter of Scripture. Now, Psalm 23 is perhaps the most well-known of all of the psalms. I'm just curious, how many of you have memorized this psalm? Maybe when you were a young one, how many of you have this psalm memorized? And I'd say it's a majority of you across the room. And even if you don't think you have it memorized, some of you might be surprised how much of it you can actually say. It's a very familiar psalm in the Scripture. Yet I'd say there is an alarming danger connected to the familiarity of this psalm. A philosopher from years gone by made the famous statement, familiarity breeds contempt. What he was saying was, we can sometimes get so used to something that it loses its wonder. It loses its practicality to our lives. And we can lose our appreciation for something when we get too used to it. And I think that's sometimes what happens with Psalm 23. We know the words so well, and yet we lose the significant truth that is in every word. And so over this summer, what we're going to do is we're going to take this psalm line by line, precept by precept, and unpack all the rich truth that is to be discovered therein for every aspect of our lives. And last time we were together, we started in verse number 1. If you want to look down at verse 1 with me, let's read it out loud together. Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Here we discovered the source of satisfaction is our sovereign shepherd, the Lord who is our shepherd. There's a little girl who was asked to quote her memory verse in her Sunday school class one Sunday, and it was Psalm 23 and verse number 1. And she was very nervous about saying her verse in front of all of her friends, and so she got up to say her verse, and she did her best. She nervously quoted it, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then she said, as she stammered a little bit, and she said, "I have all I want." I heard that story, and I thought, you know what? She might not have quoted it right, but she really got the sentiment of it right, right? I have all I want, and you know, when the Lord is your shepherd, you'll have everything you need in life. And it is a wonderful truth. I enjoyed studying that truth together last Sunday. And I'll say that this truth, the fact that our Savior Shepherd is the one who satisfies the true needs of our life, is a critical truth to understand if you're going to understand the rest of Psalm 23. Because the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then the psalmist proceeds to describe just how this Savior Shepherd, this good shepherd of ours, meets every single need that we could possibly have in our lives. And that's what we'll begin to discover in verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible goes on to tell us this. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And here we read those comforting words. "He leadeth me." You think about your shepherd. He leads me. What a comfort that is to our life as believers in Christ, that we have a God who cares enough for us to lead us as we walk through this world. In 1862, in the midst of the Civil War, this psalm inspired a hymn writer to write the words to a song in the midst of that conflict that was taking place and a very dark time in the history of our country. Joseph Gilmore wrote the words to the song, "He Leadeth Me." And it says this, I think I have it on the screen, if you guys will throw it up there for me. It says this, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought." You can sing it with me if you know it. "Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me." comforting words in the midst of a difficult time in our nation. And I'll say this to you this morning, in the midst of this troubled world that we still live in today, we think of riots, we think of trouble taking place in different places across our country. What a comfort it is to know that our shepherd is still there leading us through as we're walking through this life. And in this particular verse of the psalm, as we consider the supervision of our shepherd over our lives, we see three places to which our shepherd desires to lead us to. The first one I want you to write down is this. First off, we see he desires to lead us to a place of respect, a place of respect. If you look at verse number 2, there are two action words that describe the manner in which our shepherd leads us. In verse 2, the Bible says, he maketh me. And then in the second part of the verse, it says, he leadeth me. He makes me and he leads me. And so the way the shepherd leads causes you to respect him even more and even desire to follow him wherever he goes. Listen, God leads us in a way that is far superior to any other type of leader that you may have had in your life. His leadership is superior to them all. He leads in a way that those who follow him actually want to follow him. They actually want to do what he asks them to do. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And there's just something about the voice of our shepherd for those of us who have believed in him that causes us to want to follow him. And so just consider with me how the Bible describes the leadership of our shepherd here. The first statement that's made in the verse is that he makes me, he maketh me to lie down. In other words, he makes me do what I should do. He makes me do what I should do. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here is very strong, very strong. The language of how the shepherd makes the sheep do certain things. The word make literally means that he compels me or he forces me to lie down in green pastures. Now listen, a shepherd is not going to force his sheep to do something that is bad for them. No, he's going to lead his sheep to places where they actually do, actually want to do what he wants them to do because it is in their best interest. And after all, it's a lot easier to lie down if you get to lie down in green pastures. It actually sounds very good. He's not making us do something that isn't for our good, that isn't for our benefit. And in much the same way, the Lord who is our shepherd leads us to a place in life where we can actually enjoy doing what he has called us to do. As Psalm 37 and verse 25 says, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered. He makes me ordered by the Lord. And what does he do? He delights in his way. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no better life to live than in step with the shepherd. There's no better place to be led to than the place that our shepherd wants to lead us to. And yet, as much as we like to think that we are always obedient sheep, it is the nature of sheep to be stupid and stubborn. And we are often both of them, aren't we? When you think of the phrase, he maketh me, sometimes our shepherd literally must make us do what is best for us, even if we go kicking and screaming the whole way. There was a story I read about a guy who went to Syria, and while he was in Syria, he saw a shepherd there keeping a sheep. And he noticed every day that he was there that this shepherd would take a particular portion of food to a specific sheep. And he saw this happening every day, and he couldn't help himself, so he had to go ask what the shepherd was doing. He went over to the shepherd, and he noticed that the sheep had obviously broken its leg. And so he asked the shepherd, well, how did the sheep break its leg? Was it an accident or was it an attack that broke the sheep's leg? And the shepherd said, No, I broke this sheep's leg. And this man said, you broke it yourself? And here's what he said. He said, yeah, I broke it myself. You see, this is a wayward sheep. It would not stay with the flock, but would lead the other sheep astray. And then it would not let me near it. And so I could not approach it. I could not help it. So I had to break the sheep's leg that it might allow me day by day to feed it. And in doing this, it'll get to know me as a shepherd. It'll learn to trust me. And then it will stay with the flock. You know, sometimes your shepherd, out of love for you, must make you do what is best for you, even if you don't want him to. And he does it so you will learn how to trust him and how to follow him. So you'll learn exactly how much you need him. Psalm 119 and verse 67, if you look in your notes, this is what the psalmist said. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." And sometimes God uses affliction to teach us to trust him and to follow him more. Some of you are there right now. Just learn to trust your shepherd. Just learn to trust your shepherd. So we see, when we look at the leadership of our shepherd, we see that sometimes he makes me lie down. But the second truth we see about his leadership, in the second part of the verse, we find that the Bible says he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me. In other words, he leads me where I need to go. Now the word leadeth, there in verse number 2, it literally speaks of easily leading or comfortably guiding someone the direction that they need to go. It speaks of a soft and a gentle leading as opposed to a brash and a hurtful style of leading. And so understand this, our Savior Shepherd, our Good Shepherd does not lead his sheep forcefully, but he leads his sheep gently. And Jesus's description of his leadership in John chapter 10, when he calls himself the Good Shepherd, he describes how he leads us. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 4 in your notes, here's what Jesus said. He said, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Boy, that's a whole lot different than the leadership we see from this old world today. As you look around in the world, there's a lot of people who want to lead and drive from behind and not go before and call others to follow them. And why is that? Well, there was another story I read about a shepherd who visited a Middle Eastern country. And while he was there, the tour guide had told them that now the way that shepherds in the Middle East take care of their sheep is a whole lot different than the way that y'all do it back in America. He said, these shepherds, they gently lead their sheep from the front, and the sheep follow them wherever they go. They know their voice. He was describing all these things to them. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as that tour bus with that tour guide got to the first hillside, there was an old boy out there driving the sheep with the staff. And some of the tourists started snickering at him and laughing at him because he apparently had gotten it wrong, and the guy was so upset by it that he went out and he confronted the shepherd. And he said, "Now I've been here telling all these people that you shepherds are good shepherds and you lead your sheep from the front, and here you are driving them from the back. Don't you guys lead them from the front?" And the guy said, "Yeah, shepherds lead them that way, but I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher." There's a difference, you see. Our shepherd leads from the front. He calls us gently to follow him. He has our best interests in mind. The butcher looks at how the sheep will benefit him, but the shepherd looks at how he can benefit his sheep. The butcher drives from behind, but the shepherd leads from before. And aren't you glad that the Lord is our shepherd and that he graciously and gently leads us in such a way that he makes us want to follow after him? And you think about his leadership, it's so important. But can I ask you, are you letting the shepherd lead your life today? Oh, he knows what's best for you. He's leading you in a way that you most certainly want to go, whether you understand it yet or not. He'll not force you. He gently wants to work in your life. Are you following the leadership of your shepherd? Matthew Henry said, "Those that feed on God's goodness must follow his direction." If you're a wayward sheep, it's very difficult to benefit from the blessings that come when the Lord is your shepherd. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I say to you, it is a wise person who learns to let the Lord be the shepherd and the guide of his life. A wise person indeed. Number one, we see he wants to lead us to a place of respect, a place where we want to follow where he's taking us. But number two, I want you to notice he takes us to a place of rest. He takes us to a place of rest. Verse number two, the Bible says, "He maketh me," and read the next three words with me, "to lie down." He maketh me to lie down. You see, the way the shepherd leads you causes you to be able to lie down and rest. And this is Jesus' desire for all those who follow him. He says in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what, church? He wants to give you this rest. He wants to be able to make you to lie down and rest. And yet rest, especially in American society, is something that seems to be very difficult for us as human beings. Some of you have trouble sleeping at night, but you have no trouble sleeping in church. Now, that's a different story for a different time. It seems like we constantly have a plethora of things that are pulling our attention away and distracting us from being able to truly rest. Job 14, verse 1 says, "Man's days are full, are few in number and full of trouble." And all of us have burdens and issues that we deal with on a continual basis that consistently seem to rob us of rest. In his commentary on Psalm 23, Philip Keller gave a very interesting perspective that I had never thought of. He was a shepherd for years. He became a pastor. And in this particular chapter, on this verse, he wrote some things that I thought were pertinent to share with you. He said that in his time as a shepherd, it was very hard, if not nigh impossible, to get sheep to actually lie down unless four requirements were fulfilled. First off, he said they must be free from the fear of predators. They had to be free from fear of predators around them, or they wouldn't lie down and rest. Second, they had to be free from friction with other sheep. If you had one dominant sheep who was pushing his way around, none of the other sheep would rest. The third thing he said is they must be free from flies and other pests that would continually frustrate them. And the fourth thing he said is they must be free from a lack of food. Free from a lack of food. If they were hungry, they wouldn't lie down. They had to be completely full and have plenty of food around, or they would not rest. And he concluded at the end of making this point that it was entirely up to the shepherd to ensure that all the sheep had these needs met, so that they could lie down and rest. And I say to you this morning that our shepherd is such a good shepherd that he looks after all of our needs and takes away the burdens and frustrations of life to make it possible for us to actually find a place of rest in his care. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. And I want to march through those things that sheep go through, because we're compared to sheep in the Scripture. I want you to consider what may be robbing you of finding rest in your shepherd today. First off, I want you to see this. The shepherd will free you from fear. The shepherd will free you from fear. Now, how many of you ever dealt with sheep before? All right. Sheep are, I already said two S's. They're stupid, and they're, I don't remember what the other one was, but the third one I was going to say is that they are scared. I mean, they're scared of anything. Have you ever been around sheep before? A jackrabbit can jump out of the woods, and it'll be scared to death of it, all right? And it doesn't matter whether there's actually a reason for fear or not, but sheep have a tendency to be scared of just about everything. But the most securing thing in the world for a sheep is the presence of the shepherd. When the shepherd is around, the sheep are okay. And isn't that a great analogy for what chases out fear in our life as well? When we know the shepherd, our good shepherd, is near, we have no reason to fear. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 39, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. And there is nothing quite like the shepherd's voice, nothing quite like the shepherd's presence to give us security in the midst of the fears that we face in life. Let me ask you, are you fearful? Are you being kept up at night with a fear of what is to come? Maybe it's a fear for your children. Maybe it's a fear for your finances. Maybe it's a fear for what's coming in our country. I don't know what it is that may be inflicting you today, but I'm going to tell you something. You can find rest when you start trusting in your shepherd. He's going to take care of you. The shepherd gives us freedom from the fear of these types of things. The second thing I see is that the shepherd will free you not only from fear, but from friction. Free you from friction. Now, among sheep, rivalry and competition for status, they often cause a lot of friction between them. And if there's any type of that going on, they will not lie down and rest. And I will say, after being an under-shepherd for several years, it's also true among God's sheep as well. When you've got people who are trying to push their way through or demonstrate their talent over others or their rule over others, it can cause friction. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13, "Only by pride cometh contention." When you're at odds with someone, you will not be at rest. You're not right with someone, especially one of your brethren, One of your family members that keeps you up at night. It keeps you from being able to find a place of true rest. But the good shepherd is a shepherd who works so in the life of his sheep that he helps them to find restitution. And Philip Keller in his commentary said again that the thing that seemed to alleviate all the fights among the sheep is whenever he would show up. If they were having an issue and he would just walk up to them, it seemed like they just stopped fighting. All right? You know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That verse is written in the context of church discipline, of people who are at odds with each other getting brought to a place of peace. And the only way we can find peace with others in our life is when we get the shepherd involved. And such an important thing. And I ask you, are you conflicting with someone else in your life today? Is it robbing you from rest? The good shepherd wants to lead you to a place of rest by finding peace in that relationship. And you may feel like it's impossible, but we serve a God who masters in the impossible. And he can bring reconciliation. The shepherd will free you from friction. A third truth I see is that the shepherd will free you from frustration. Free you from frustration. Now, when sheep are being tormented by pests or flies, it's literally impossible to get them to lie down and rest, according to Philip Keller. And one of the stories I read said that they've even been known to run themselves off of cliff edges or beat their heads against rocks until they die when they're dealing with a bunch of flies. And I feel like I've seen some people do that before too. Listen, all of us deal with irritations in life. All of us deal with those little things that drive us insane. And if we allow ourselves to get caught up and distracted by those types of things, we will not find any true place of rest in life. But you know what the shepherd does to help those sheep with the pests, the flies? He applies some insect repellent. He applies some ointment to give them some relief so that they can get some rest. You know, in the Christian life, the thing that the shepherd applies for us to give us relief is the ointment of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God has a way of giving us peace that passes understanding. Peace that doesn't make sense, even as we carry the burdens and face the frustrations of life. The Bible says, be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And some of you have been being robbed of rest because you've allowed the irritations of your life to continually nag at your mind. And I encourage you, turn every care into a prayer. Give it to the Lord. Let your shepherd take care of it. It's all well taken care of in his hand. And you can have peace. You can have rest. The shepherd will free you from this friction. A fourth truth I see about the shepherd is that the shepherd will free you from famine as well. The shepherd will free you from famine. Now, as I mentioned before, it is a common thing for sheep. If they are hungry, they will not lie down and rest. Or, even if they're full, if it doesn't seem like they have enough food around them, they won't lie down and rest then either. And so in order for a sheep to be able to find a place of rest, the shepherd has to lead them to a place where there is plenty of food available. And I'm so thankful that in the midst of this barren world, where you cannot find any true sustenance, I'm so thankful in the midst of this barren world that the good shepherd, our shepherd, is an expert at providing us with the plentiful pastures where we can find everything that we need and everything that we could want. I'm going to tell you something. When you follow the Lord, you will not lack for anything. A lot of times we don't have any rest because we're worried, how am I going to buy these clothes? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to keep this roof over my head? And we have concerns and worries about all of these things. But the Lord already told us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does the rest of it say? And all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, God's got it taken care of. Your good shepherd knows what you need. You can rest in his provision. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the scripture says. And so you can find a place of rest in the Lord, your shepherd. And so the Lord, our shepherd, desires for you to follow him to this place of rest today. As you think about your life, is all well with your soul? When's the last time you truly had rest in your spirit? Some of us are so stirred up by all the things going on in our lives that we don't find a true place of rest. And I encourage you to find it today in the Lord who is our shepherd. And so we see that he desires to lead us. He leads us to a place of respect where we want to follow where he's taking us. He leads us to a place of rest, true rest, abiding rest, as we trust in him. And the final truth I want you to see is that he leads us to a place of replenishment. He leads us to a place of replenishment. Now we're almost out of time. I want you to hang with me for a couple more moments here. As you look at verse number 2 again, two phrases stand out about the place that the Lord desires to lead us to. In verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down where? In green pastures, green meadows. And then it says, he leads me beside where? Green pastures, still waters. The places our shepherd leads us to are both plentiful and peaceful. That's what's expressed in this part of the verse. The Lord wants to take you to a place where you will both be full and be fulfilled in life. He wants to give you true satisfaction to your soul. And so two statements here before we're done. The good shepherd leads you to plentiful pastures. He wants to lead you to plentiful pastures. Green pastures is what the scripture says. Now, ironically, the best sheep country in the world, not that I'm an expert on it, but according to what I've read, the best sheep country in the world is actually in dry, semi-arid climates. Places where it's not just abundantly green everywhere. It keeps the parasites and the flies and different things down off the sheep. And so you'll find a lot of sheep country in those types of climates in the world. But here's the thing. To have green pastures in that kind of climate is not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of skill. A lot of understanding on how to manage land in order to provide sheep green pastures in a dry climate. And so there seems to be a little bit of a conflict there. And even so, as we think about this dry, barren world that we live in today, the Lord our shepherd is a great expert at providing to us these green pastures. It may be dry all around us, with no sustenance for people without the Lord, but those who are the Lord's find in him an abundance of supply for replenishment. These green pastures. And what are the green pastures? Spiritually speaking, we as the Lord's sheep, what are the green pastures the Lord provides for us to feast in? And I propose to you, I believe it's the Word of God. He gives us an endless feast for us to be able to feed on. As we open the scriptures every single day, he gives us just what we need and so much more than what we could ever consume. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Listen, the green pastures of God's word are so rich and abundant, they will never go dry. They will never be barren. And as sheep may lie down in the green pastures, even so you and I as believers may lay down and rest and get replenishment and the rich truth that is to be found in the scriptures. All throughout the Bible tells us that the Word of God is the primary source of our spiritual sustenance as believers. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And there is no greater source of replenishment for us as believers than the Word of God. Here's the thing. Shepherds do not force feed the mouth of their sheep. They lead their sheep to green pastures, but it's up to them to feast on the green pasture. Let me suffice it to say, you can be surrounded. In fact, if you are a believer, you are surrounded by plenty to give you satisfaction in life. But if you're not eating of it, whose fault is it? I'd say it's not the fault of the shepherd who's provided it to you. Now, I found this to be true. We gather around the dinner table at night. My wife will cook an amazing meal. Now, if you've been around my wife, you know she's a good cook, all right? That's why I keep gaining weight. In fact, somebody who hadn't seen me in a while walked in this morning and they said, you're looking good. You're getting big. And I thought, well, praise God. Somebody's finally honest with me, okay? But there's a reason for that. You know, if she spreads a Great meal for me and our family. And I sit there, but all I've done all day is feast on junk food. I've ate chips. I've drank soda, pop, Coke, whatever you call it, all right? And I've just filled myself up full on junk food all day. Then I'll sit in front of that feast of good sustenance, and I'll not be hungry. You know why some of you aren't getting the satisfaction you really need in life? It's because you're filling yourself up on the junk of this world all day. Then you sit in front of your Bible and you say, well, I just can't get anything out of it. Really? Well, maybe you're just getting a little too much out of your social media. Maybe you're getting a little too much out of that television. Maybe you're trying to find your satisfaction in places that the shepherd did not give you to be truly satisfied. He's given you green pastures to be able to find true refreshment in. It's about high time we as God's people get back to eating the things that God's provided to us, and that is His Word. And so we see the good shepherd leads to pleasant or plentiful pastures with us. The last truth I want you to see is that the good shepherd leads to peaceful streams. He leads to peaceful streams. Now, for sheep, it's very important that they have still waters. The waters that the shepherd will lead his sheep to are not the noisy and fast-moving rivers that often frighten the sheep and carry the threat of literally carrying the sheep off in their forceful streams. No, he wants to take them to still waters. That is quiet waters. That is unpolluted waters. That is refreshing waters. Waters that will not cause them to fear. And even so, our good shepherd has provided us still waters too. And I believe this is a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. These still waters represent the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Living water. When Jesus said that, he was referring to the ministry of his Spirit. So get this. Once you trusted in Jesus as your Savior, God placed his Spirit inside of your heart. And the Bible tells us that you now have the very source of spiritual life flowing out from within you. And the Holy Spirit of God acts like an ever-flowing stream of water flowing forth from your life to cleanse you and to refresh you and to fertilize your life and to give you joy and refreshment and peace. That's what God desires for you. As Psalm chapter 46 and verse 4 says, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And so our shepherd, our good shepherd, desires to lead us as his sheep to be refreshed beside the still waters of the influence of his Holy Spirit in our lives. But so often for us, the reason why we find no refreshment in life is because we're just too busy to allow the Holy Spirit of God to do his work. Even right now, sitting in a church service, you can be more focused on what has to come next than on what God has for you right now in the stillness of this moment. You wake up in the morning, I have too much to do. I've got to get it done. I'll pray later if I have time. I'll spend time with God later if I have time. And the trouble is, we just never have time, do we? And so we never get the refreshment we need for our souls because we're not taking time beside those still waters. A story in the Old Testament that I'll just have to summarize briefly of the prophet Elijah. Elijah's on a mountain. And as Elijah sits on this mountain, he's in a very discouraged state. An earthquake takes place around him. The Bible says God wasn't in the earthquake. There's a great windstorm, perhaps a tornado that takes place around him. But God wasn't in the tornado, the Bible says. And then finally, you know where Elijah heard God's voice? It was in a still, small voice. And so often we wake up every day and we're dealing with the earthquakes, we're dealing with the tornadoes, we're dealing with all these pressing things that are demanding our attention, and what we miss is a voice of God in the stillness by the still waters. Here's what Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If you want true refreshment for your soul, you ought to make it a daily habit to be still. Get into the Word of God. You allow God to speak to you, and then you take a little while, and you take time to pray, and you talk to God. And it will do wonders to bring true refreshment to your soul today. I told you from the beginning that in the midst of this crazy life, in the midst of this troubled world that we live in, what a blessing it is to know that our good shepherd is leading us through every step of the way. He's leading us to a place of respect, a place where we actually want to follow where he's taking us because we know he has our best interest in mind. He's leading us to a place of rest, true rest, not the superficial rest that the world has to offer to us, but true spiritual rest as we trust in him to deliver us from all of our fears and frustrations in life and just trust that he's going to take us through. And he wants to lead us to a place of true refreshment where his word and his spirit are working in our life, bringing this refreshment to our souls. So I ask you in conclusion, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the good shepherd? Well, if you want to know that the Lord is my shepherd, it'd be good to start yourself with the question of saying, is the shepherd my Lord? Has there come a day in your life where you have trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Has there come a day in your life when you said, I want to be one of his, and you chose to follow Jesus in faith? Jesus said in John 10, verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is there a day when you've heard the voice of Jesus, and you said, I want to follow him? I want him to be my shepherd. Because if there's never been a day like that for you, I pray that today will be the day you come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you know the Lord as your shepherd, I ask you one final question here. Would you be willing to let him lead you again? He leadeth me. That's how it's supposed to be. But if some of you were honest in your heart today, you have not been allowing your shepherd to lead. You've been a wayward sheep. You've been trying your own way, and it has not been satisfying. Today will be a great day for you to get back close to the Lord who wants to be your shepherd. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bound, our eyes are closed, and with no one looking around, we're going to have a few moments of invitation where I invite you to pray. I invite you to take some time to make decisions as God has worked in your heart. How many of you would say this morning, Pastor Bruce, I can honestly say the Lord is my shepherd. There's been a day I've trusted Christ as my Savior. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? Many hands across the room. Thank you for your honesty. Now, among you that just raised your hand, I ask you to be honest again. How do you say, Pastor Bruce, I know the Lord is my shepherd, but if I'm being honest, I have not really been following him like I should. And God's spoken to my heart. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? I'd like to pray for you. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands back down. Here's the last question I'll ask you. Would there be someone in here this morning that would say, Pastor Bruce, there's really never been a time in my life that I can remember, or maybe you're just not sure if the Lord is your shepherd. If you were to die right now, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven, hell, where you'd go. You're not sure that the Lord is your shepherd today. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Pastor Bruce, that's me. I'm not sure about that. I see your hand. Thank you. You can put it back down. Anyone else say, Pastor Bruce, I'm not sure if I know the Lord is my Savior. Please pray for me. Very good.